More than half of all Seattle households are now rentals, and rents are up nearly 40% over the last 16 years for a one-bedroom apartment. The city is trying to address the situation. Earlier this week, the mayor's Housing Affordability Committee released their recommendations. Will they help renters? Yesterday, we put that question to real estate investor and pundit Richard Hager. Today, we talk it over with Sharon Lee. She's the executive director of the Low Income Housing Institute. They build and operate low-income units across the Puget Sound region. She told KUOW's Ross Reynolds, the recommendations are a good start.
I think that there are some really good recommendations. I think the proposals don't go far enough, and I think part of it might be that there weren't enough renters that were part of the mix of the committee.
Let's talk about what you like about it and then what you think maybe could have been done better. What's in it that's good for renters?
Well, the mayor did ask the committee to come up with 20,000, a strategy for preserving or developing 20,000 new affordable rent-restricted units. That was really good. The problem is that that particular count, the 20,000 new or preserved, doesn't really take into fact that we're going to be losing over the next 10 years. We're going to be losing affordable rental housing that's unsubsidized and that's not being counted in that mix.
So there's no net gain.
Well, if we don't preserve existing housing, there would be no net gain.
Where else do you think the plan might fall short for renters?
Well, if you look at the appendix, it includes some proposals that did not get so-called unanimous support. And one of them was the first right of refusal.
I think
that would be a very, very powerful tool. It's very, very effective in Washington, D.C., where you have, let's say, sellers who are, let's say they're retiring, they want to sell their building, they want to cash out. They have to give the first right of refusal to a tenant organization or a nonprofit organization. And that would be a great way to preserve existing buildings where a tenant co-op or a nonprofit or even a church group could assemble the financing and make an offer and buy the building and preserve it long term.
We talked about these new recommendations with real estate investor and pundit Richard Hager, and he told us you can't go wrong with more housing.
Even if it's at the upper end, eventually people can oversaturate some of those markets, and the result is they have to lower their rates to make it more affordable to get those units rented.
So he says even if you're building new units that cost a lot of money and aren't affordable, you're going to saturate the market, and that's going to push down rents and help out people who have a hard time making their rents. What do you think?
Well, I think oftentimes the trickle-down theory is presented, and it's not actually true because in Seattle, there's thousands of new, not just market rate, but luxury housing units being built, apartments being built, and the rents have not gone down during the same corresponding period of this boom. So that's easy for someone to say that, but we have not seen that, and I think that the residents and renters have not experienced that. Right now, 48% of the renters of color living in Seattle are cost burdened.
What does that mean?
That means they're paying more than 30% of their income for rent. And right now there's 45,000 households, not people, who are paying over 50% of their income for rent. So basically you have families of color and you have lower wage workers that are very quickly not going to be able to continue to live in Seattle. And that's why you're going to see less diversity in Seattle unless something is done.
You've talked about a few things you would have liked to have seen in the report that aren't in the report. Anything else that you think's missing?
Well, I think I grew up in Philadelphia, and they have a local Philadelphia ordinance that says that if you have housing code violations, your landlord cannot change the terms of your lease, including raising your rent. And that is a really good protection. And I think something like that, consumer protection, should happen here as well, because you have actually people renting slum-like housing, and it's actually very, very expensive because there's a shortage. Another example is that in Washington State, houseboats have rent control. Houseboats are seen as, well, you know, their mortgage is like a scarce commodity. Well, right now, affordable rental housing is a scarce commodity. So we think that the state legislature should allow local control so that there could be some moderation so that rents aren't so high.
altogether, you've talked about some things you like, but I think more things you think are missing from this proposal. Give it a letter grade when it comes to the issues that are important to you. Affordable housing for renters. What would you say this proposal rates?
Well, I would give it a B. I think they should look at some of the other recommendations that were not so-called unanimous and take some leadership and put forward some aggressive proposals, especially towards renters who are really at risk.
Sharon Lee is the executive director of the Low Income Housing Institute in Seattle. The institute has built and now operates over 1,700 low-income housing units at 50 sites in 6 counties throughout the Puget Sound region. Yesterday, we spoke with real estate investor and pundit Richard Hager. To hear his perspective, go to kuow.org.